Hey, hey, sex fans! Welcome back. Today is Wednesday, February 20th, 2013, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge. And I'm your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick.
You're not a very tolerant person.
You got that for my introduction? Well, one of the things that makes my life so wonderful are opportunities like this to introduce you, my audience, to remarkable people you probably would never know otherwise. This is particularly true for this Sex Wisdom series, which brings you interviews with movers and shakers in the field of human sexuality. Now, I generally chat with colleagues well established in our field, but today I want to introduce you to someone just beginning her career. And what an illustrious career it will be, I promise. And I'm delighted to welcome a new friend and fellow therapist, Mandy Trout.
Nice personality combination, hostile and intolerant. That's borderline criminal.
I see where you're going with that. So Mandy is a psychotherapist here in the Emerald City, and she has a wonderful and engaging philosophy and therapeutic style that underscores her commitment to the health and well-being of her clients. And I'm looking forward to getting to know her better right along with you. Now, Mandy invites you to visit her on her site, newconnectionscounseling.com. And of course, she's on Facebook and Twitter, too. So look for all these links in today's podcast posting on DrDickSexAdvice.com.
Boy, you're an ungrateful jackass!
I'm going to ignore you. So today's program is once again brought to you by Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. You know, even though I get tons of email from folks looking for my advice, I can only respond to a limited number of inquiries at any given time. But that doesn't mean that I don't care about everyone who writes in. I do. That's why I've set up the How-To Video Library. You'll find a link to this great resource right there on the front page of DrDickSexAdvice.com. Look for the Video Library tab in the header.
You choose things that are funny or mildly amusing or interesting. You're a miracle. Your stories have none of that.
Why is everyone picking on me? The Video Library is the go-to place for all of you who have sexual performance questions. You'll be able to watch all kinds of deliciously entertaining, delightfully enriching, and oh-so-informative videos right from the comfort of your own home. And remember, a portion of the money you spend at Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library, educating, enriching, and entertaining yourself, comes back to us as support for these marvelous shows. So, knock yourself out! Okay, on with the show. Welcome, Mandy, and thank you for dropping by DrDickSexAdvice.com. It's a pleasure having you, so to speak. How does it feel being had?
I am so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Good, good, good. And now that you're here, would you like to say hello to all the nice people?
Hi, everyone.
And you know what? There's a load of big fat perverts in our audience, too. You want to say hello to them?
Hey.
I include myself in that category, by the way. I own that big fat pervert title, don't you know? Anyhow,
funny.
It's really good to finally connect with you in this setting. As you know, it's been a joy getting to know you over the last few months. And as I discovered, you are this really wonderfully interesting person. And I decided not to hog you all to myself, and thus the invitation to be a guest on this, the Sex Wisdom Show. So let's see if we can find out what makes you tick, shall we?
Go for it.
Okay. So I'm going to paraphrase something that I read on your About page. I am a licensed psychotherapist in Seattle, Washington. I treat people with post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, bipolar disorder, depression, and borderline personality disorder. I've attended various trainings, including those focusing on grief, military families, and PTSD. Skills for working with LGBTQ individuals, mindfulness, and distress tolerance, and finally, building trust, love, and loyalty in relationships. Well, that's a mouthful, don't you know?
Yeah.
You're a busy gal. So one of the things that I'm painfully aware of in my own practice is how everything has to be a freaking disorder. Now, I know that why therapists make those designations in terms of care and perhaps more importantly in terms of billing, but don't you find them more than a little dehumanizing? I know I do. And who among our clients wants to consider themselves as disordered?
Well, you know, I really don't like using the word disorder.
Oh.
So I try to not actually label anybody.
Right. So, oh, good, know. Good, good.
So even though it's written, I kind of pretend the label doesn't exist as soon as I speak it, if at all.
Good, good, good. Because it's hard enough to face oneself and say, you know, I need help from a professional, and then have a sense, well, oh my God, is she or he, you know, judging me or making some value judgment about my life and actually going about calling it a disorder.
Right. And the thing is, I think also with this particular community, with the alternative sexuality community,
right,
I want people to know also, I am not judging your lifestyle, because in some ways, you know, I'm kind of part of some of these communities that I'm catering to.
Right.
So I'm really open to differences and variations and anything that you come to me with. And of course, there's all, you know, there's degrees of, I mean, I think everyone has problems, and there some problems are normal, everyday kind of stuff, you know.
Right.
And
right.
So you kind of just have to, you kind of align where the people are.
Right. But, you know, it's sad to me, you know, that people in our field really make the designations that people are disordered or broken, or because I can't do that either. I mean, I don't want to, you know, start out my interaction with one of my clients as, you know, like, you're all messed up. I mean, that, you know, I'm actually trying to get my clients to get rid of those judgments about themselves. So it's counterproductive for me to, you know, then, you know, write down on a pad of paper, you know, that this person has this disorder or is broken in this sort of way.
Right. And, you know, I don't like the word broken either.
Yes, that's true.
Say broken, I'd rather you say bent. Not like bent today. I'm feeling like I need to, you know, kind of figure out where my center is.
Good for you. That's a really good way of doing it. In fact, that used to be a derogatory term for homosexual. Is bent.
Seriously? See, I just learned something. I didn't know that.
Yeah, absolutely. That was, if you're not straight, you're bent. And that was
interesting. Okay, thank you for teaching me something new. Is it something that still people?
I think in Europe. It is. Do you ever see the stage play, Bent? Apparently not. And there's also a movie about it, and it's about homosexuals in concentration camps in Nazi Germany, and it's called Bent. I saw it on stage 100 years ago when Richard Gere was just a young man, and he played the lead role. So it was something to look up. Very cool.
I would love to check that movie out.
Do?
Or
yeah.
Play, yes.
So apparently this psychology and sexology stuff that we're talking about is more than a passing interest for you. You appear to eat, drink, and sleep this stuff. Isn't that right?
Yeah, at the risk of sounding a little obsessive, I actually do feel that way about myself.
Well, you know, there's worse things to be obsessing about, it seems to me. And, you know, you're doing such a good job. I really like it. So you go on to write about yourself. Over the years, I've gotten more involved in social advocacy, influenced in part by a year of AmeriCorps VISTA, which is Volunteers in Service for America. Then I went through some life transitions that led me to seek membership in various alternative sexuality communities. Through this membership, I have found a new appreciation, understanding, and passion for lifestyles and perspectives offered by these communities. I am passionate about working with adult clients of alternative lifestyles as it pertains to their sexuality, gender identity, self-development, and relationships. Well, that's brilliant. I mean, that's a sex-positive credo if I've ever heard one. So tell us a little bit more about your Vista gig.
So Vista is really a year long. So from 2010 to 2011, I worked for what they do is they situate you in a specific nonprofit agency.
Uh-huh.
And you have this, like, one role that you have to, it's like an assignment, they call it an assignment that you have to achieve. And my assignment was to create a fundraiser for an agency called Smith Wright Services, which is a residential services for people with autism.
No kidding.
Yeah. And so it's like 24-hour day care where they have an adult program and a children's program, and they're helping people become more inclusive in their community.
Wow.
Yeah.
Talk and about so, an underserved population. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Good for you.
It was really nice to be part of that. I actually have a physical disability myself. I have cerebral palsy.
Ah.
And so I've always been kind of interested working with other people with disabilities. And then, of course, learning more about fundraising because it was my first time actually doing anything around fundraising. So it was kind of fun to be part of that.
Oh, that's a skill set all in its own. I mean, nonprofits cannot run without money, and there's very few people that actually know how to raise money for nonprofits. So good for you. Cool beans. Congratulations. So that one sentence when you wrote about some life transitions that led me to seek membership in various alternative sexual communities, I'll bet you there's a backstory there. Care to fill us in on that?
So this is kind of like a coming out story. Because
get out. I love it.
We don't know about it.
Oh, no. I love it. Thank you for honoring my show with that.
Yeah. So I call it my trip down the rabbit hole. And literally, my husband and I, on our 13th anniversary, went to this all-inclusive resort. And we wanted to try something new. We've always been kind of curious about nudist resorts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what and it looked kind of romantic on the website. So we were like, oh, cool, you know, romantic nudist resort. It turned out to be a swingers resort.
Wow.
We didn't run away from it.
Oh, good for you. Good for you.
And it kind of changed our perspective.
I'll bet.
Things. So.
Isn't it amazing how a little self revelation changes the trajectory of our lives? I mean, holy cow. I mean,
yeah.
Isn't that what it's all about? I mean, opening ourselves up and realizing, oh my goodness, there's all these other people out there, and how challenging is that to us, and, you know, how does that shape our thinking from now on?
Well, that is very true. And, you know, it was interesting because I think for us, we were, like, mostly observers during that vacation, but we did meet some really wonderful people. And we're actually friends with them to this day.
Great.
So, there's so many things that, I mean, I think one of the things I loved about what I discovered there was that I could actually connect with people. I know that sounds weird, but it sounds so funny because where I came from, I always was, like, I felt myself to be timid.
Wow.
And here I was connecting with people and actually being okay with, like, opening myself up even just a little bit more.
Outstanding.
You know, on a communication level even.
Right. It was cool. Very cool. Well, you know, this is a great segue into the next questions that I want to talk about. So let's get down to brass tacks, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Let's begin talking about body awareness and its importance for sexual health and well-being. So much of human sexual response is body-centric. Not everything, of course. Our mind, our emotions, and our imagination also play a big part in how we respond to sexual and sensual and erotic stimuli, right?
Totally. You have to kind of... It's interesting to me how much we're not connected to our bodies.
Right.
Most of the time,
right.
I think.
But and sometimes our bodies can actually get in the way. You know, our senses. I think that's one of the fun things about a sensory deprivation, like, you know, adding a blindfold or some restraints or something like that. It changes everything about even doing something that is very commonplace. So very cool.
Yeah, well, and when you do add a blindfold, all of a sudden other senses become
exactly.
Like, yeah, you're more sensitive to, like, your smell or
right.
your touch or
right.
something else.
Right.
And you're actually you become more aroused even.
That's so true. So knowing our body and how it responds to a particular stimulus is essential to a healthy sex life, but coming to that kind of knowledge is not always easy, at least not for some people. Any tips on how someone who is disconnected from his or her body for one reason or another, or is uncomfortable in his or her own skin, can heal that rift?
So I think this comes back to my background in mindfulness.
All right, good, good, good.
What is mindfulness? Mindfulness is really just increased awareness of yourself, your environment. It's literally what's happening right now. What am I paying attention to? And so, you know, everyone talks about the breath, and I think that's the first place to start is, you know, when you can, like, literally just focus on your breathing and how deep you're breathing, you start to look inward and start to feel, what is my body actually doing? How do I feel right now in this space? And that's a really good place to start.
It is a wonderful place to start. That's one of the things that I ask almost automatically when I see somebody in my practice who's having sexual problems. I say, how are you breathing through it? You know, if they're anxious and they're breathing very shallowly, you know, like, you know, the heart rate's up and, you know, your body is breathing like it's afraid. And your responses are going to be fight or flight kind of thing, right?
Right, exactly.
Outstanding. Good, good, good.
And another thing is the grounding. You know, when you can ground your feet on the floor, and there's this image of literally seeing roots coming from your feet all the way to the center of of the earth, and feeling that groundingness, groundedness, that can actually help because you're really becoming aware of your body too in that way.
Right. And you know, when I'm when I see people who are having difficulty communicating, I also tell them to change their environment, which is kind of an addition to what we've just been talking about. And like I said, when you're going to discuss something really difficult, go outside, go for a walk in nature. And I said that puts everything into perspective. I mean, you know, we're not hearing our voice reverberate around us. We're not actually facing, you know, the person we're talking to because we're walking side by side. And, you know, we find ourselves in nature, and nature puts us into perspective. I mean, we are these creatures, and we're not really big and perhaps not all that important. And it takes some of the onerousness away from, you know, discussing difficult stuff.
I actually did have an experience in my teens where I was going through counseling, and I was, the counseling center was like right next to a park. Uh-huh. And one day the counselor said, you want to just walk outside in the park.
Cool.
And we actually had a session outside, and it did change everything.
Really?
It was so different for me than just being in the office.
Right.
So I know exactly what you're saying.
Oh, good, good, good.
Yeah, your sense of everything is different.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So one of the more common difficulties some folks face because of their unfamiliarity with their body is performance anxiety. And this is just one of the arousal phase related concerns that I see in my practice, and I suspect that you also. So let's address that, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Mostly people think performance anxiety is a male problem, erection concerns and premature ejaculation, for example. But women also experience performance anxiety too, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think a lot of times women feel a sense of flatness, like they don't feel arousal.
Oh, wow. Right.
You know, or so they'll be like, I just don't know why I'm not feeling anything right now.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they don't even know what it is. They just, there's just this no arousal happening at that point.
And, you know, it's a difficult kind of thing, especially if your partner is really aroused. And then what do you do? I mean, do you just fake it, or do you, you know, try to find out what the problem is? Or, you know, and sometimes the path of the least resistance is, oh, let's just, you know, get it over with. And but if you do that often enough, your sensitivity about arousal and, you know, sexuality in general is skewed, it seems to me.
Well, and I would never recommend faking it.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm thinking to my, you know, in those moments, I think it's literally about kind of almost stopping what you're doing and kind of centering with your partner.
Right.
You know, and then just even again, going back to the breath, going back to finding a way to connect.
Very cool. Right. Yeah. And, you know, it faking it, you know, like if somebody says, you know, I'm dizzy, well, should you fake it and try to walk or should you sit down and figure out why you're feeling dizzy? I mean, you know, it's a no-brainer in terms of dizziness. I mean, people don't like, I'm going to fake that. But we do in terms of sexuality, and there's severe consequences for that, if you ask me.
Well, you know what I really like, when this is like on my soapbox right here.
Oh, good for you.
because I feel like, especially with guys, and I'm saying this, I'm a woman, but I'm really trying to say this from a sensitive place when I'm talking about males, is that I feel they have so much high expectations of themselves.
Oh, yeah.
And all I want them to feel is like, you can relax. You know, you don't have to be everything for everybody. You know, you don't have to be everything for your primary partner at this point. Maybe you had a bad day at work. It's okay. It's all right to say, I can't get work off my head.
Yes.
It's fine.
Yes.
You know, relax.
That's nice.
It's easier said than done.
Yes. But, you know, if that was a commonplace in our relationships, if we were able to say that to our partners and say, you know, I sense that you're having a difficult time, so, you know, why don't you take the rest of the night off, or why don't you take the rest of the day off, or why don't you, you know, go take a nap, or, you know, why don't you draw a bath or something like that, or let's read erotica together or something like that, something that just takes all the pressure off and do something enjoyable and possibly even playful, and, you know, kind of heals all that kind of stuff to me.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think being playful and allowing yourself to be open, but so many people are scared about being open.
Oh, yes.
And that's, again, a cultural thing and a uh-huh. social thing. We you know, I think guys also taught, I can't disclose that kind of stuff.
Right.
You know, so it's unlearning all these responses that's right. becomes really the barrier.
Right. Now, for some, the path of body awareness leads them to experiment with the pain-pleasure principle. This, more often than not, opens the door to experimentation with BDSM, for example. So let's talk about kinky as opposed to vanilla. Do you suppose that there's all that much difference between the two, or is it a matter of degree as opposed to a matter of kind?
Well, every time I ever have thought, seen, or heard the word vanilla, it's really like the conventional, you know, ideas or the
yes.
conventional sex.
Right.
So when I think conventional sex, I think missionary style.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then kinky, you're more experimental, you're you know, creative, you're trying different things, you're doing it in the bathroom. I love when I do a lot of reading of Tristan Termino.
Oh yeah.
And she says kink is an all-inclusive word that covers BDSM, sadomasochism, dominance, submission, role play, fetishes, everything.
Right.
So it's just, you know, again, playing with all these different expressions of sexuality.
I interestingly enough, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, and mm-hmm. I was telling him about the new book that I'm working on. It's called The Gospel of Kink, and mm-hmm. He said to me, he said, what is kink? And I don't actually have to define it. I mean, it's completely up to the person. I mean, somebody having sex with the lights on, you know, that's kinky for them. And then, of course, other people at the other end of the spectrum, which lets everything hang out. It's a designation that we make, you know, concerning who we are and, you know, what we're interested in or what we're about to challenge ourselves with, I would guess.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm thinking, you know, if someone decides to have sex on a basin instead of the bed, that's kind of kinky.
Uh-huh, sure.
Yeah.
Especially for all the people who just know how to do it on a bed.
Right, so it's just like, whoa, this is kind of cool, this is different.
So BDSM is considered a kink, but not all kinks are BDSM. So what is the difference in your estimation?
So BDSM is an acronym, and so we were talking about bondage and discipline for the BD,
mm-hmm.
and then SM is sadism and masochism, and it's interesting because when we're talking about that, we're also talking about submission and dominance as well. So there's all these different forms within the BDSM.
Right.
Idea.
Right. And some of it can be actually physical, and others can be just, you know, psychological. I mean, you can do BDSM, it seems, well, not so much bondage and discipline, but sadomasochism with just not touching at all.
Right. There's a lot of psychological play, like mind games.
Right.
You know, you could make a person believe you're about to put a sharp object on them and then not do it.
Yes, exactly. So here's a question I get on my site all the time. Are people who are into BDSM psychologically messed up?
Well, can I just preface this by saying thank you, Dr. Dick, for telling me about LinkedIn groups, because I got onto all these groups, kink-aware professional groups.
Oh, good.
We've been having conversations about this very topic.
Oh, good.
And literally, like, that there was this one thread that, like, went on for years. on this very subject matter. So I think, really, at the end of the day, everything depends.
Right.
There's no one-size-fits-all. Some people, you know, have maybe a traumatic background, and so they choose kinky sex or BDSM to cope with their issues. Sometimes just people enjoy it, and it's just part of their personality and what they like, and it has nothing to do with any level of psychological disorder or disturbance or anything.
Right. Interestingly enough, there are also people who use BDSM as a means of healing a traumatic experience, and I think that's a remarkable kind of thing. And just as you say, it's all about the person who is the practitioner and, you know, what their agenda is.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, people go on to ask, you know, like, why would a normal person subject him or herself to pain, humiliation, and or inflict pain and humiliation on others?
You know, I have to bring this up because I wasn't sure when to bring this up, but this sounds like a good time. So I went to a workshop by Vandy Yoga Girl yesterday.
Oh, did you? She was a guest on my show, don't you know?
Yes, and I've ever since your show, actually, I've been communicating with her through life. And we tried to get, you know, to all these workshops, and it didn't happen. So yesterday was the first day I went to a workshop with her, and it was like, I was just so happy to meet her. She's an awesome person.
Well, I understand that for sure.
And she was talking about, she was kind of associating Taoism with BDS, well, with kink and DS kind of stuff.
Right. So, dominance and submission.
Yeah. And it was very interesting. So what she really kind of taught me as a global idea is that everything depends on context.
Right.
And firstly, quote unquote, normal is so... There's no such thing as normal, really. It's what we decide is normal, right? You know, we have this conventional wisdom that says, well, this is normal.
Mm-hmm.
But depending on the context, everything changes. And, you know, you land up... it was just very interesting to kind of see how these different aspects of yourself, like, you, in one instance, you can say, well, I would never do that. But then you change the context around it, and you find yourself being totally open to it.
Exactly. And sometimes, you know, the designations themselves kind of are off-putting because people read so much into it. I mean, I've had people say, oh, BDSM, oh, BDSM. I said, what does that mean to you? Well, I don't even know necessarily, but I'm just afraid of that word. So it's very cool. People are interesting people, and there you have it. Listen, I'm just looking at my clock, and I see that our time is nearly up for today, and I want to save a few moments for you to give us your website address and walk us around a bit. And I also want to invite you back for next week if you can. Is that possible?
Sure.
Oh, yay! Yippee. So, again, your website address, walk us around a little bit. Tell us what we can find there so we can visit you in the interim.
Okay, so my website is newconnectionscounseling.com. And I pretty much, I have my obviously my About Me page. I talk a little bit why I even chose New Connections Counseling as a name, you know, what that means to me. And then I think it's really important to, when you're in this area, to be part of the community. And so I have this, what I do is I have a blog, and part of my blog is I will add articles from other people in the community, but I also have a resource page that talks about community events, you know, upcoming workshops, things like that. Not just from myself. I actually haven't developed a workshop for myself, but other people's workshops too.
Cool.
So
good.
So I just, you know, like, and then I just think it's really kind of important to have just as many resources as you can.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Well, we will be investigating your website in the interim. And until next week, be well.
Thank you. Very nice to talk with you today.
Bye now.
Bye.
What a terrific show. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week at this time for part two of my conversation with Mandy Trout and more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. However, before we go, let me remind you that this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Listen up, buckaroos. Thanks to this amazing technology, you'll be able to watch your choice of smut from the comfort of your own home. With just a little prompting from you, they're going to come gushing out of your computer like nobody's business.
And by the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
I'm so sorry that our show is almost over and you're going to go away soon. So check it out. You'll find a link to this fabulous sex resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the tab that reads Video on Demand. There is no membership fee. This is a pay-for-minute kind of deal. Your pay-per-view minutes allow you to watch whatever content you want for whatever length of time you choose. Pretty gall darn sweet, huh? And remember, a portion of the money that you spend at Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library, educating, enriching, and entertaining yourself, comes back to us as support for these marvelous shows. So, knock yourself out. One more thing before we conclude. I want to make sure that you know about my product review site, drdicksextoyreviews.com. That's right, sex fans. Now it's so easy to see what's hot and what's not in the world of adult products. I and the Dr. Dick Review crew review all kinds of adult-related goodies. Sex toys for sure, but also condoms, lubes, fetish gear, as well as educational and enrichment videos. Don't miss a single one. Look for drdicksextoyreviews.com. You'll be so glad you did. Okay, until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.